Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Yes, the best is yet to come. Every day and everywhere, this is an old affirmation that Earl used to say, every day and everywhere I'm getting better and better, gooder and gooder. Every day. Well, how you all doing this morning? You good? Good? Feeling blessed?
Yes.
Prospered?
Yes.
All right. Well, we are continuing with our series on building a prosperity consciousness. And I was thinking that I could very well have called this series Building a Life of Overflowing Abundant Good. Because we know that prosperity, or true prosperity, is way beyond just having abundant physical resources, right? Although it certainly is that, and it's okay to have that. But it's so much more than that. It basically is really about living and experiencing life to its fullest. All of it. The ups and downs and ins and outs, but to experience life to its fullest. And to do so with enough to share and to what? To spare. To have your needs met so that you can also enjoy your own life, but share the goodness that is you with others in your life. Prosperity is about being in the flow of divine goodness. And in a couple of talks before, we talked about that was actually the definition of affluence, to be in the flow, right, of good, to be in the flow of divine substance. That's when you know you're blessed, to have this spiritual sense of well-being. You know that it is well with my soul, it is well with my life. And who amongst us is not looking for a little bit more of a sense of well-being, right? It's powerful because we all want those things which will make our lives richer and fuller, which will give us meaning and purpose, greater purpose. Whatever that might be for you, we all are seeking that, to feel the richness of life, the fullness, to know that I have a purpose. And so then when we have that connection and we have that feeling, you know, we kind of want more of it. Lots of it, right? That's just, we want lots of it. So that we have not only this sense of well-being, but that there's a sense of fulfillment. You know, I want to eat well, but I want to feel fulfilled, right? I want to have the goodness of life, but I want that sense of fulfillment in my life. And so, you know, we're looking for ways to increase the good stuff. We don't want some of the bad stuff or the negative stuff that we have named it bad, but we're looking for ways to increase the good stuff in our lives. And it's basically just human nature that whenever we run across something that speaks to the good or that is good, that we naturally try to figure out how we can get more of it. It's just human nature, right? This is good, but I want to figure out. Sometimes you can't even enjoy the good that you have because you're trying to think about how you can get more. More of it. And it's natural to do that. But I'm thinking, instead of, you know, sort of conniving or scheming or trying to figure out how to get more of our desired good, maybe even by cajoling, you know, or begging God, you know, sort of like we are part of the fiction book that says, oh, please, sir, I want some more. You know, can I have some more? Please, God, can you give me more? But instead of doing all that begging and pleading and all of that stuff, why not simply learn to utilize the spiritual laws of increase? It's far easier to do that than to figure out how can I get more of the scheming, and all that takes energy. See, what we want to do is there are certain spiritual principles and laws and actions that naturally and spiritually generate increase. Just on their own. We don't have to do anything to generate the increase. That the spiritual law, the action of the principle, actually generates increase. So I thought maybe we would look at a few of those so that we could gain a greater understanding. Now, we've all heard the axiom, use it or lose it, right? Everybody's familiar with that. Use it or lose it. And that's true in a number of instances. It could be true, you know, when we're talking about our physical bodies. You know, if you don't use this body, your muscles or whatever, you don't exercise them, you don't move them, you don't use them, they're going to do what? Atrophy, diminish, right? And it could also be said for any gifts or talents or abilities or skills that we don't have, that we have. Likewise, if we don't use them, we begin to lose them. And the converse is also true, that if you use whatever you use, we'll have an opportunity to increase and to grow stronger and to get better. When you use your muscles and you go to that gym and you start pumping that iron, what happens? You get stronger. The muscle, not only, it doesn't stay the same, it doesn't diminish. In fact, it increases. There's a wonderful, in Eric Butterworth's book, Spiritual Economics, and by the way, we are using two books in this series as points of references. We're using Spiritual Economics by Eric Butterworth, and we're using Charles Fillmore's book on prosperity. But Eric Butterworth talks about two concepts that go along with this use it or lose it theory. And he talks about, one concept is called entropy, and the other is called syntropy, right? So, and it's on, people said, you got to give us the pages. So it's on page 45 and 46 in the book. So, but what this is about is in entropy, the theory is that everything in life sort of breaks down. That form disintegrates into lower and lower levels of organization. In other words, things diminish or they fall apart. And this is what he says on page 45 about entropy. It says, entropy causes organized forms to gradually disintegrate into lower and lower levels of organizations. It is the basis of the theory that the universe is like a great machine running down and wearing out. In a personally symbolic sense, we slip into an entropic consciousness through synchronizing our thoughts with the negative thinking of the world. And when that happens, he says, misfortune follows misfortune under this quote-unquote black cloud. However, there is an influence that can reverse the process. And that's when he talks about this concept called syntropy, which was discovered by a Nobel Prize winner, a biologist. And what syntropy says, of course, it is that in this theory, that forms, he says, that forms begin to reach higher and higher levels of organization, of order, of dynamic harmony. In other words, things begin to come together. In one instance, things fall apart with entropy, and in syntropy, things come together. And this is what he says about syntropy. He says, when you are in charge of your mind in the consciousness of oneness with the creative flow, when you are working with life instead of against it, when you are positive and loving and secure in the conviction of truth that you are under the white cloud, and he says Psalms 91 calls it the shadow of the Almighty, in this consciousness, syntropy does its work. It pulls things together, and then he says, parking spaces open up for you. I like that one. He says, and this, he says, stocks go up as you buy. Dishonest people are fair with you in their dealings with you. They may not even know why, but they say, I gotta be honest with this person. He says, jobs appear, promotions come. It would appear that you're living a charmed life. But actually, it is nothing more or less than consciousness outforming itself. Consciousness outforming itself. And so I interpret all this in layman's terms. This is sort of referring to whether or not you believe that the glass is half empty or it's half full. Right? And if you, whichever one you believe, the universe is going to comply with your belief. So if you believe that it's half empty, entropy happens, and you get more of emptiness. Stuff ain't working, right? Or if you believe that it is, of course, things are, it's half full, that consciousness of this is half full, things began to come because you are now moving things together into syntropy, into a higher, higher order and working and multiplication of things. This is why people who believe in Murphy's Law, you know Murphy's Law? People who believe in Murphy's Law, they have experiences that actually prove it for them. And so they say, see, things go. I said, well, that's you. That's your law. That's good. Work it. I don't believe in that particular law. But see, when you have that thought, well, things, again, that's an anthropic consciousness. Things are working out poorly. Things are not going to work out well. There's a little bit of this. It's not enough. It's not all. Everything is breaking down. There's disorder in the, all of that. But we need a synthropic consciousness. Turn to somebody and tell them, you better get a synthropic consciousness. You better get a synthropic consciousness. Because, listen, that speaks to the scripture that says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord, right? So what we would say is, yes, all things work together for good, not only for those who love the Lord, but for those who understand and utilize the spiritual laws. All things work together for good. So back to this axiom of use it or lose it. Well, Charles Fillmore says this in his book, Prosperity, and this is an important part here on page 81 for those of you who are taking notes. He says, there is a universal law of increase. It is not confined to bank accounts, but operates on every plane of manifestation. The conscious cooperation of man is necessary to the fullest results in the working of this law. You must use your talent, whatever it may be, in order to increase it. And then he says, have faith in the law and do not reason too much, but forge ahead in faith and boldness. For if you let yourself think of any person or any outer condition as hindering your increase, this becomes a hindrance to you. For you have applied the law of increase, to, meaning that if you think that somebody else can stop your good, if the boss didn't give you a promotion, that's why you're not going to have this or that, well, then those things are a hindrance, but you will have that experience, right? He says, fear of it may cause you to become timid and bury your talent, which defeats the law of increase. So keep your eyes on the abundant inner reality and do not let the outer appearance cause you to falter. You must use your talent, whatever it may be, in order to increase it. And this law is so beautifully demonstrated in two biblical stories. One we find in the Old Testament and one we find in the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, it's demonstrated by the story of Elisha and the widow. Now, some of you may know this story. It's found in 2 Kings, chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now, this woman, whose husband has just died, she owes a lot to her debtors. And in that law, if you weren't able to pay, they were able to come and take what you have, including your family and your children and your possessions. And so her debtor said they're going to come and get her two sons and put them in prison and make them, you know, work out the debts or whatever. So she goes to Elijah for help. And she tells him her plight. And he says, okay, well, what do you have in the house? Now, metaphysically, we all know, because I got some metaphysicians here, that metaphysically he's asking her, what do you have what? In your consciousness. Because your house represents your dwelling place, and we live in our mind, right? So he says, well, what do you have in your house? And she says, well, I only have one pot of oil. Now, I thought, that's a signal of what's going wrong, because she has a bad case of the onlys. I only have one pot of oil. See, and we get into the onlys too. I only have this, or I only have that, or maybe it could be a if only. If only this happened, and if only that would have happened, then I would have this. It's the onlys. Leave them alone. So he says to her, okay, well, take that one pot. I want you to gather all the other pots and containers that you have in the house. And so she does. He says, now begin to pour the oil into those containers. And so she does. And pot after pot and container after container, the oil is flowing because she's going to be able to sell it. It keeps flowing and flowing. And she's like, whoa. And then she tells her son, go to the neighbor's house and get as many pots as you can. So she gathers more and they bring all the pots. And the oil continues to flow until she has no more pots. And then Elijah says, now go and sell that and pay your debts. Use what you have and it will increase. It's a spiritual law, friends. It may sound like, oh, this is just a miracle that happened in the Old Testament. No, when you begin to put that which you have into expression, into manifestation, it begins to generate energy and it multiplies. It turns into other things. And so this is a powerful lesson for us. In the New Testament, there's the parable of the talents, and we know this one as well. A man is going on a journey. It says a long journey. And so he calls to him his servants, and to one of his servants he gives 5 talents. Some scriptures say gold, silver, money, but he gives 5 talents. And to another servant he gives 2 talents. And then to a third one, he gives 1 talent. And he says to them, you know, when I come back from my journey, you're going to have to give me an account of what you did with this talent. And so the one who has 5 talents, he invests it and he doubles, right, his investment. So now he has 10 talents, and the one who has 2 does the very same thing. And we all know the story, but the one who had that 1 talent takes it and he does what? He buries it in the ground. Man comes back. He says, okay, it's time to make an accounting of what you've done with your talent. The 5th one, man who had 5, says, well, sir, you know, I invested it and I doubled my talent. He says, oh, great, good, thou faithful servant, enter into the kingdom of good. You've been faithful over little, you can now be faithful over much. Meaning, you know what to do with a little. You can handle a lot now. He says to the 2nd one, same thing. I've doubled it. And he says, good, thou faithful servant. Now enter into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of good. Which means, you know, when you double it, when you use it, when you take that talent, you get more and more good. You can now utilize greater and greater good. You enter into that kingdom, that consciousness of greater good. So then he gets to the one who has 1 talent and who buried it. And he says, what did you do? And he goes, well, you know, good master. He says, I was just afraid. I know that, you know, you didn't necessarily reap where you've sown. And I was afraid that I might lose your talent. So I buried it. And so he says to him, he says, well, you know, I love the Bible. He says, thou wicked and slothful servant. That's a word we don't use often, slothful. Thou wicked and slothful servant, he says. At least, he says to him, at least you should have had the good sense enough to take the 1 talent. If you didn't want to, you know, invest it by utilizing it, you could have at least put it in the bank, he says. And so that it could do what? Earn interest. You would have given something. You could have done something with it. But because you did nothing with it, take that talent and give it to the one who has 10. And then he says, ah, even that which you have, right? To whom much is given, much is required. But even that which you have, it will be taken away. So metaphysically, it's so powerful because it's like if you don't use what you have, your talents, your gifts, your abilities, they will be taken away, right? Diminished, fall apart, atrophy. So the heart of this is not necessarily how much you have, or even how little, whether it's 5 or 10, doesn't matter. If you use it, it will increase. Do nothing or bury it, bury what you have, even that which you have will be taken away. You know, you save for a rainy day, guess what you're going to get? Rainy days. Right? You're saving for an emergency. Guess what you get? Emergencies. It doesn't mean that you don't use good wisdom. There is always a balance. But when you slip over the scales and you begin as fear through fear, hoarding and holding and protecting, that doesn't lead you anywhere good. And so, you know, non-use equals stagnation and limitation. Use, likewise, equals growth and increase. People get so caught up in saying, well, I can't do this because I don't have that. I can't do this because I don't have that. Well, use what you do have. Not what you don't. Don't worry about what you do have. Because one idea can turn into a multitude of other ideas. And you never know which one of those ideas might be just the one you need to break everything wide open for you. You might be sitting on a $1 million idea right now, but because you haven't used it, it's all for naught. So we got use it or lose it. Now, there's some other ways that you can employ this law of increase, and that is through praise and thanksgiving, right? Fillmore says this about praise in his definition in the Revealing Word about what praise does. He says there's an inherent law of mind action. Through an inherent law of mind action, we increase whatever we praise. The whole creation responds to praise and is glad. Animals and children quickly respond to praise, and that's true. You know, when you say to a little dog, oh, good boy, a good girl, they know that somehow or another that's praise, and they're happy. When you tell a child, oh, what a good job, oh, that praise, they just beam. They open up and want to do more and give more. He says one can praise a weak body into strength. I believe, Lapia, you're praising a weak body into strength, see? He says you can praise a fearful heart into peace and trust, shattered nerves into poise and power, a failing business into prosperity and content, want and insufficiency into supply and support, all through the power of praise. It's very powerful. You see, what happens is, it's powerful because when we begin to praise something, we are directing our thoughts in a positive, affirmative manner, in a way toward something that's going to draw to us the effects of or the results of those words or those intentions that we have just by praising something. So when you're praising it, you're directing energy. And the moment you direct that energy towards something, it begins to create an energy feel. Praise is like gratitude because it's powerful, because when you're praising something, you can't hold praise or you can't hold the sense of gratitude. You can't hold those, or you can't express or feel gratitude while also feeling some type of negativity. You know, you just can't do that. It doesn't work. You can't hold a negative and a positive in the same thought and in the same vibration. My good friend Linnell said this yesterday. He said, when we are truly expressing gratitude, there is no room for anything else. See, gratitude, it fills you. It fills your consciousness. It opens you up. It opens your heart. It fills you through and through. And when you begin to feel it and express it and to feel that sense of gratitude, the sense of joy or praise or thanksgiving, what happens is there's an energy that begins to move in you. And it also begins to move all of creation in your direction. It's like a magnet. You start vibrating, right? What happens is it stirs up stuff, it stirs up spirit, it stirs up the substance, and it raises your vibration. And when your vibration is high, it's like a tuning fork. You are putting out the signal, that high vibration, of which then a corresponding vibration returns, right? That's the law of correspondence. What goes out comes back in. So when you're vibrating, when you're praising and rejoicing and celebrating and giving thanks, what happens is that vibration raises and then draws to you the very thing that you're seeking. So you might say, well, how can I just feel, you know, gratitude when some terrible things have happened? I've got a horrible diagnosis. How can I feel gratitude when I've lost my relationship? I lost my job. How can I feel gratitude? Well, those are things, gratitude depending upon a thing and a condition. What we're talking about here is something totally different. We're talking about what the Apostle Paul said. He didn't say give thanks for all things. He said give thanks what? In all things. So you don't have to be grateful for the car wreck. You don't have to be grateful for you losing your job. But you can be grateful and thankful in that process. Because when you have that ability to do that, then you are taking control of your consciousness. You are putting out that positive vibration no matter what's happening out here. And that is what begins to draw to you your good. So whatever circumstances you have the ability to feel gratitude because it's a state of mind, it's a state of being, it's a condition inside based on the inner reality of the presence and power of God that's always at work in every situation and every circumstance. There's no time, place, or instance where the presence and power of God is not. There is none. So whatever your situation, whatever your circumstance, you can still call forth the presence of God. The presence of what? Of good. You can see it, hold it, and call it forth. Eric Butterworth quotes Plato, and it's a lovely quote from Plato, which was said about 2,500 years ago. And Plato says this: a grateful mind is a great mind which eventually attracts to itself great things. A grateful mind, somebody likes that too. A grateful mind is a great mind which eventually attracts to itself great things. So I want to read a little bit more about this whole concept on page 89 because I think it's really a powerful one. He says this, that's a tremendous insight. The grateful person is great because he or she has turned on all the lights within. You may say of someone, he has so much and he's so grateful. But by Plato's law, it may be that he has so much because he is so grateful. The grateful heart opens the way to the flow. That's what we were talking about, being in the flow. The good you're seeking is available. It's flowing now. And a grateful heart opens you up to the flow. It doesn't create the flow. The flow is already created by God. All the good that there is already manifested and created. You bring it in. So he says that it opens way for the flow and becomes an attractive force to draw to itself great things. And then he goes on to say this, which I love. He says, when you feel grateful, you become great and eventually attract great things. He says, you become attractive. When you feel grateful, you become attractive. I'm very grateful. He says, according to Plato's law, as you feel grateful, you become attractive, not only in your beauty and radiance, but in your relationships with people. More important, you release a vital energy that draws to you opportunities, employment, and a secure flow of substance. Everything begins to work in your life in an orderly and creative way. You may be so uplifted in the joy of thanksgiving that your consciousness easily gives vent to the activity of blessings. So we need to practice feeling grateful. And you don't have to have things to be grateful for. That's what we think. Well, I can't be grateful. No. Practice feeling grateful because in and of itself, you know, just being here in life is reason enough to be grateful. You know, it's reason enough to be grateful. What I think is, remember when we talked about your sacred yes? Saying, you know, your sacred yes, that there was power just in saying yes, yes. Yes. Not just for anything, just say yes. When you say yes to life, all of a sudden, that word yes has energy and it begins to generate a power and a vibration, right? We prove that just by saying yes, yes, yes. Well, the same thing goes for just saying thank you. Not for this, not for my house, my car. No, that's all right. There's a time for that, but there's also a time just to say thank you. And you can practice that when you get home. Get up in the morning, maybe close your eyes, do a little meditation for 5 or 10 minutes. Just say thank you. Stop attaching it to a thing. Just be filled with gratitude. It'll shift your consciousness and take you to deeper and higher places. Because this is the thing. When you feel great, you attract great things to yourself. Gratitude is a causative vibration. It causes things to be drawn to you. It's a high vibration. So we want to practice feeling it and expressing it at all times. And then, you know, we can get into not only expressing gratitude, but sharing it. There's a science to gratitude, and I just couldn't believe this, but, you know, I just got an invitation to be on a panel from the out in San Francisco this September. And they're doing a panel called Taking It to a Higher Level, which will involve the Greater Good Science Center from Berkeley. Did you know that they had a Greater Good Science Center at the University of Berkeley? And they just got this $5 million grant to study the actual physical and emotional effects of gratitude. They've gleaned, and to see, we've already known this, but they have gleaned that that when you are people who express gratitude consistently have stronger immune systems, lower blood pressure. You know, blood pressure's too high, you better be thankful about something. Brings it down. Higher levels of positive emotions, more joy, optimism, happiness, acting with more generosity and compassion, feeling less lonely and isolated. And it says that they're going to continue to study so they can see how they can bring some of this into the human health field, the personal field of personal relationships and well-being as a science, and to promote evidence so that it can be promoted more in the medical field, in the educational field, and in organizational settings. So I'm going to be on that panel to moderate that, and they want me to bring the spiritual component. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to give them a good dose on what I know happening. The thing about it is, who would know they have a center to study good service? Wonderful. I love Berkeley. You know, sometimes good things come out of California, Berkeley, every now and then. So last power that I want us to express, to understand that we have, is the power to bless something. To bless something is to confer good upon it, right? When you bless something, you are outpouring a sense of goodness. You're using that increase to increase the good. And so every time we bless something, it's a very powerful experience. And we forget that we have the power to bless something, to confer prosperity upon. And this is what Eric Butterworth says on page 97 concerning our ability and power to bless something. He says, in your gratefulness of heart, you can confer prosperity upon all the many things, experiences, and people whose performance have such a profound influence on your life. Then he says, bless the car that you drive, or the bus, or the train that you ride. Bless the weather and the traffic. Bless your place of business or employment. Bless your employer and your coworkers. Bless your investments and your cash flow. Bless your home and your family. Bless your friends and your neighbors. Now, he says, blessing exerts no magic power over these people, conditions, or things. In fact, it doesn't change them at all. It changes you, your thoughts and feelings, and the consciousness you project into your world. And then he says, he quotes Mr. Fillmore, and he says, blessing substance increases its flow. And so as you know, he says, this is what I love, this is a funny one. He says, if your money supply is low or your purse seems empty, take it in your hands and bless it. Bless it. See it filled with living substance, ready to become manifest. As you prepare your meals, bless the food with the thought of spiritual substance. When you dress, bless your garments and realize that you are being constantly clothed with God's substance. the more conscious you become of the presence of the living substance, the more it will manifest itself for you, and the richer will be the common good of all. Identify yourself with substance, and you will soon begin to rejoice in the ever-present bounty of God. So prosperity is in your hands, or more importantly, it is in your heart and in your mind. And you can increase it via your use of spiritual laws. Remember to use what you have, right? To use what you have, to brace what you would like more of, and to praise more of what you have, to praise what you want more of, to give thanks in all things, right? Develop this attitude of gratitude. Practice feeling great so that you will begin to attract great things to you. And last but never least, begin to bless everything. I don't care what it is. Bless. You know what? I bless it. I bless it. I bless it, because blessings increase and multiply the good. So, use it or lose it. Namaste. Blessings. Use it or lose it.